No other word for grace except amazing. Amen. Amen. The scientists still haven't figured it out. The doctors still don't have no words, no answer for it. Thank God. Amen. But I'm glad once I was lost, but now I'm saved. I'm glad where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. And I'm glad that the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared unto all men. Amen. And that got me. Amen. And I'm glad grace and truth came through Jesus Christ, and it ain't changed yet. It's still abounding. Amen. Still abounding. Well, it's a joy to be here tonight. I appreciate the good singing, the good song. Appreciate Brother Terry. Amen. My, how the Lord's used him this week. He's preached and just thrilled us and helped us. If you're here and lost, you're a special guest in the house of God. Yes, amen. You're a special person in the eyes of God tonight. Amen. He died for you. And when it gets individual with you, you'll get willing to do something about it. Amen. It's an individual thing. It's between you and Him. Amen. Between you and Him. Amen. So I appreciate you. All right, you focus on the Word of God. Hear from heaven once again. Amen. Come on, Brother Terry, and preach for us again. Amen. Bless you.
Thank you, Brother Freddie. It's a blessing to be back tonight. I call your attention, if you have a Bible with you and want to follow along as we read in the Scripture tonight, in the book of Genesis, chapter 33, I want to look at verse number 17. Genesis chapter 33, we're looking at verse number 17. Begin our reading with that verse. We'll read the remaining part of the chapter. That'll just be four verses tonight. You that know the worth of prayer, I ask you humbly to lift us up to the Lord tonight. We need the Lord's help, need the Lord's touch tonight. So I'd ask you humbly and sincerely to pray for us, that the Lord would help us tonight. All right, verse 17 of Genesis chapter 33, the Bible reads like this, "And Jacob journeyed to Succoth, and built him a house, and made booths for his cattle. Therefore the name of the place is called Succoth. Jacob came to Shalem, the city of Shechem, which is in the land of Canaan, when he came from Padanaram, and pitched his tent before the city. And he bought a parcel of a field where he had spread his tent, the hand of the children of Hamor, Shechem's father, for 100 pieces of money. And he erected there an altar and called it El Elohi Israel." Father, I want to thank you tonight for the privilege to pray. And I love you tonight because you first loved me. And I realize, Lord, I could have never been in the family of God had you not loved me first. You're in His love, not that we love God, but that you loved us. Sent your Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Lord, I thank you tonight for loving me and saving me. Put me in the family of God. I thank you for my call to preach. I thank you, dear Lord, for an open door again tonight. I thank you for the church you've had here and the good pastor. And I thank you, Lord, for these that make up this body and those that have come from other places. Lord, every soul that's under the sound of our voice tonight, we're grateful for every man, woman, boy, or girl, saint and sinner. I pray you'd help us now, Lord, as we look in the Word of God. I pray for unction and utterance. I pray for strength upon my body and voice. I pray for strength in the inward man tonight. I pray for heavenly insight and spiritual understanding tonight. I pray you'd take us and hide us in the cross tonight. I pray you'd give us that unction and that utterance that a man can't preach without tonight. I pray you'd illuminate my mind and loose my tongue. I pray you'd give me clearness of speech and clarity of thought tonight, and I pray to you, Lord, I could preach of the unsearchable riches of Christ tonight to this congregation. I pray I could be that voice that you can cry through, that vessel that you can feel tonight. And may I be pliable and usable in your hands tonight. May the Word of God go forth from these lips of clay in the power and the demonstration of the Spirit of God. Oh, Lord, tonight may the Word of God find lodging in our lives. May sinners be awakened, convicted, and brought to a place of repentance and faith tonight. May the searchlight of heaven fall on their soul tonight. And may they see themselves as they are tonight and come repenting and believing. And may the saints, Lord, tonight find strength and encouragement from the Word of God tonight. And may it reprove us, Lord, and instruct us and exhort us and admonish us tonight.
how, oh God, may it dwell in us richly and bring forth fruit unto perfection. Lord, above everything we ask that might be accomplished or done, our Lord, in the service that your name might be glorified and magnified among us. Lord, what you're pleased to do in, through, and for us, we'll bow these unworthy heads and lift our hands and thank you for every bit of it, for everything we ask tonight. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you for standing tonight. The Bible said in verse 17 of our text tonight, where we begin to read, and Jacob journeyed to Succoth. Been preaching ever since Monday night on journeying with Jacob. Journeying with Jacob. We took the life of Jacob, looked at when he left Beersheba, at the journey he set out on, and have followed him from that time until now. He was on a journey. We explained that it is a journey of faith. And faith is a journey. Faith begins at Calvary. Faith begins at the cross. Faith begins for the believer when they repent towards God and receive Christ as their only and all-sufficient Savior. Faith begins, the journey of faith begins when we believe that God is and that He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Faith is not a leap in the dark. Faith is not something that you can buy or purchase at a night in the department store or the grocery store. Faith is not something that is learned. Faith, my friend, cannot come just by sitting in a Sunday school class or a vacation Bible school or even a church house. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Faith, my friend, is God's gift unto us. My friend, and then it's our responsibility, my friend, to exercise that faith. My friend, in the Lord Jesus Christ, to take God at His Word. Once He reveals His Word to us, once He reveals Himself to us, and our need of Him, to take Him at His Word, to agree with Him, and follow Him, my friend, and we follow by faith. We don't walk by sight, we walk by faith. And here is Jacob. He leaves Beersheba, the place of an oath, and winds up, my friend, the first part of his journey at a place called Luz. The Bible tells us, my friend, when we read further in the book of Genesis, my friend, in Genesis 35 and verse 1, that he's fleeing from the face of Esau. He's running from his, my friend, brother, because he's had a death sentence upon him. Amen. And he leaves the place of an oath. May I say this tonight? My friend, the Bible said the soul that sinneth shall surely die. The Bible said sin is a transgression of the law. Amen. And I say to you tonight, my friend, God, my friend, has concluded the whole world in unbelief. Amen. I declare them guilty under His holy law. And my friend, that's an oath tonight. God has said to the world, my friend, you'll perish and die. My friend, in your natural state, in the Adamic nature that we're born with, and the only escape out of that, the only refuge from that is to be born again, is to be saved by grace, washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, have that experience of grace that you sung about tonight, wherein God works His grace and gift of salvation in our heart. And salvation is a gift. It's a gift of God. It's not of work.
unless any man should boast. Oh, hear me. It's not what we do for God. It's what God has done for us.
Amen.
And here is Jacob. And he leaves there. Of Beersheba, the house of Isaac, the house of his father, and flees for his life, and heads to Haran, and to try to find about being a future, a beginning, a family, a bride, a wife, a fresh start. I want to say tonight, the only fresh start is at the cross. Amen. The only new beginning is at Calvary tonight. Oh my. And you can try to wish things to be different and hope things would be better. And maybe try to believe that everything will turn out all right. But the only hope for fallen humanity is to come out of the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and experience being made a new creature in Christ, where all things are passed away and behold, all things are become new. Journeying in Jacob, and he flees the house of his father, runs for refuge. And my friend spends the first night in a place called Luz. Oh, hear me. I'm trying to get there tonight. Just give me a moment. Amen. I come and come to that place called Luz. And there, and my friend, tired and weary from his journey in great distress, I God the Lord comes to him in a dream, and the ladder sits on the earth, I God, and Jacob sees the gate of heaven and realizes that this is the house of God, and declares the Lord is in this place. Amen. My God, I set up a stone axe of the very pillow that he used to sleep on the night before, set it up, poured oil on it, and said, this is the house of God. Amen. And my friend went on his journey, but now he had somebody to make the journey with him. And the Lord said, I will be with thee in all the places wherein thou goest. Amen. Oh, thank God. I'm glad we don't have to make this journey alone. I'm glad we don't have to travel through this life by ourselves. Oh, hear me, friend. Thank God. I'm glad God will be our companion and our God. He will lead us in all the ways of truth and righteousness. He will be our shepherd and we shall not walk. And he will lead us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake and by the rivers. I come and I feed by the still waters and in the green pastures and never leave us and never forsake us. Are you hearing me, friend? Oh, yes. We're excited about going to heaven. We're thrilled about the blessed hope that we have beyond this life. We're sure interested in that inheritance that awaits for us. That is incorruptible and undefiled and reserved in heaven for us. But we're sure glad that we're not making the trip by ourselves. That we're not just trying to find the way alone. That we're not just wandering through this world. But that God has come to us in the person of Christ and the blessed Holy Ghost and indwells us and leads us and comforts us and is ever our constant companion tonight. And you can have him as well, sinner. Amen. Oh, bless his name. Jacob had somebody to make the 500-mile journey from Beersheba to Haran, Padanaram. We seen him from Beersheba, the journey from Beersheba to Luz. Later he called it Bethel. He left Bethel and proceeded to Padanaram, or Haran in particular. We looked at that on Tuesday night. Amen. He journeyed towards the land of the people of the east. Journeyed toward the sun rising. Sun's not going down on us. It's coming up. Hallelujah. We're not fading out. We're just starting to fade in. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Bless His land. We're headed to that land of eternal day. We're headed to a place where there's not going to be any darkness. We're headed to a land where the sun will rise and never set. Anybody with me tonight? And he goes to Haran. God blesses him there. That is Jacob, my friend. And he leaves there after 20 years. Amen. And then his journey leads him from Haran to a place called Peniel. And that's what we looked at last night. That place Peniel. That place at the brook Jabbok. And that Jacob called Peniel. Because he said, I've seen God face to face. And my life has been preserved. I'm still alive. Amen. So tonight we want to look for just a moment. This text that we read, and we want to journey a little further with Jacob tonight. I hope you're not tired of this journey yet. Glory to God. Oh, I've journeyed with him as I've looked at these scriptures and thought about these scriptures and meditated and been reminded of things I preached in the days that have passed. Thank God I've journeyed with Jacob. Oh, and what a journey tonight. May I say, he's now journeying from Bethel. And I want to say tonight, he comes to Shechem. The journey from Bethel, from Peniel to Shechem tonight. Of course, at Peniel is where that his name is changed. At Peniel is where his walk is changed. And when we see Jacob now journeying, my friend, he's not walking as he has before, but he's halting as he makes the trip. Anybody listening to me tonight? Amen. The Lord crippled him at Peniel. Somebody said it must be a terrible God. It must be an awful God that had crippled those that trust Him. That had crippled those that believe in Him. He did cripple him. But he crippled him so he could crown him. And God will have to cripple you before he can crown you. Amen. By the way, thank God Jacob was never crowned as long as he wrestled with God. As long as he tried to bring God over to his way of thinking. But it was when, thank God, his thigh was out of joint and he cleaned and said, I won't let you go. Thank God when he cleaned, he was crowned. If you want to be crowned by the Lord tonight, hey God, then be willing to suffer with Him. Be willing to let Him cripple you. Be willing, willing for Him to put away the man of the flesh. Because as long as you can walk in the strength of the flesh, you'll never be oppressed with God. It's when you come to the end of yourself. It's when you have no ability. It's when you can't walk on your own. It's when you gotta rely on Him. That He makes you a prince. It's being your helper with God. I will therefore, Paul said, most glory in my infirmity that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, bless His name. He's crippled, but He's crowned. He was clinging, but He's crowned. And He journeys on. Now, here's the thing that I don't get at all. The Lord changes His name there. And from here till the death of Jacob, the Lord will at times refer to him as Jacob and at times as Israel. Amen. You'd think after that crowning event at Peniel that he'd always be referred from then on as Israel. But when we read verse 17 of this chapter, the Bible says it wasn't Israel that journeyed. It's Jacob that journeyed. There's still some Jacob ways in Israel. And I wonder if there's still some Jacob ways in you tonight. Are you listening to me tonight? And that's one reason you've come to meeting tonight, I hope, is to get rid of some of them Jacob ways. That is the purpose of the church. Amen. Amen. For the perfecting of the saints. For the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we come to that fullness of the stature of a man in Christ. Hey, hallelujah. Amen. The Lord got His people up out of Egypt, but it took Him 40 years to get Egypt out of them.
Yeah.
Amen. Oh, y'all with me tonight? And we're to go on to perfection. And on this journey, God is developing. God is deepening. God is helping our faith and making us more like Him and less like us. And that is the joy of a Christian, not just to go to heaven, not just to God out of Egypt, but the fact that our God would make us more like Himself, or more like His Son, and less like us. Hallelujah. Oh, we are made conformable unto the image of God's dear Son. And Jacob is journeying on this journey of faith. He's heard that call of God. I might finish. We preached it out of chapter number, I guess that was 31, where the Lord spoke to him when he was at Haran and said, I return to the land of your fathers. I return to the land of thy kindred. And he started out and he came by Peniel. And now he's leaving Peniel and headed on to that promised land, headed on to the land of Canaan, headed on to the land of his father, headed on to the land of his kindred. Hey, are you listening tonight? And the Bible said it was Jacob that journeyed. Amen. Evidently there's still some imperfections in Jacob. And if you have arrived tonight, hallelujah, when we dismiss, just go on out the door and don't come by me. Hey, God, I don't want to be that close to you tonight. Hallelujah. Well, this is not a place for those that have arrived. This is a place for those that are trying to get there. Hallelujah. Trying to be like Christ. Are y'all listening to me tonight? Let Him work on us. Hallelujah. Amen. God help us. Of course, those churches I preach in and the average Baptist church in our generation, they've all arrived. You can tell it because you preach whatever you preach. It don't matter. They don't move. Ain't God, you give an invitation, they just sit there like knots on a log and don't move. I reckon they've all arrived. Everybody's perfect. Everybody has reached that fullness. Only problem is we don't have that power and presence of God that we ought to have if we're full, if we're like Him tonight. Hallelujah. I'm just trying to preach now. Bless His name. Hallelujah. Woo! Thank the Lord. And here's Jacob. He's on this journey now. Are you listening to me tonight? Amen. He's journeying toward, amen, this land, the land of his fathers, the land, thank God, of his kindred. He's returning as the Lord has called him and instructed him to do. Amen. Now I remind you, amen, that between Haran and Peniel, and after Peniel, there has been some great strides in Jacob's life. Amen. First of all, with Laban. Amen. And he and Laban settled their differences, and thank God, draw up a covenant. Thank God, and say, I'll not bother you, and you'll not bother me. And after Peniel, he faces Esau, and Esau and him, thank God, meet together for the first time in 20 years. Thank God, and hug each other's neck, and kiss each other, and weep on each other. Are y'all hearing me? Thank God. And they've come to terms with Esau. So it looks like in Jacob's life that he's got somewhere. That he's really arrived somewhere. But this ain't the end of the journey. And God's not through with working on him yet. Or perfecting that that's lacking in him. Hey, are you listening to me? Hallelujah. By the way, let me say this before I get over here to Shechem tonight. Thank God. Every step up to now in Jacob's journey, the Lord's been one step ahead of him. The Lord hadn't been one step behind him. He's always been one step ahead of him. Every crisis that come into Jacob's life, thank God, every difficulty that came into Jacob's life, the Lord was already there ready. Thank God, my friend, to get him out of that trouble. Here comes Jacob that first night. Thank God, out of breath, running from the face of Esau. Tired, don't know where to lay his head down. Never been outside much in his life. Always under the roof of his father. Always had that doting mother. Looking after him and fixing for him and taking care of him. He's now on his own. He's all by himself. And he finally runs out of steam, runs out of gas. That's so tired. He just falls there at last and pulls up a big old stone and lays his head on it. And it ain't long till he's asleep. Hey God. And the Lord shows up. And the next morning after he's dreamed the dream, hey God, and seen the vision and heard the voice of God, he said, the Lord is in this place. And I knew it not. God is already there before Jacob got there. God never does anything after the fact. God never waits till the event takes place and then tries to come up with a solution to what has happened. Amen. Laban comes up on him in the night. And the next morning, before they can get started good, Laban's going to come down and take him. But God, he speaks to Laban that night and says, you better lay your hands off of that fella. Amen. Just going back to Syria. Just going back to Paddan Aram and let him journey where I've directed him to go. God was already there. Amen. Oh, and before he met Esau, thank God, he met God. And when he met Esau, he said, thank God, I've seen God's face and been preserved. And now I've seen your face and been preserved. God always works things according to his foreknowledge. Are y'all hearing me tonight? Hey, thank God. Have y'all ever realized, amen, has it ever occurred to you that nothing's ever occurred to God? Amen. Hallelujah. Hey, are y'all listening to me? Have you ever thought about God? He's so eternal. He's never had a temporary thought. Hey, hallelujah. And we're so temporary, we can't have an eternal thought. Hey, are y'all hearing me? Oh, bless his name. What a God we serve tonight. Somebody said, I don't know about all of that. Well, let me say this to you tonight. Even salvation tonight. Hey, God was prepared for us before he ever needed it. Before Adam ever drew a breath into his nostrils. Hey, before God ever laid the mud seal of this world, there was a Savior. There was a Lamb that stood as though he had been slain from the foundation of the world. Before there's ever sin in the garden, before man ever failed, there's already a Savior and a saving. Hallelujah. God never does nothing after thought. God always knows the end from the beginning. Woo! Hallelujah. And well, I don't know where your journey will take you. You don't know where my journey will take me. But the God we serve knows what we're going to face, where we're going to be. And he always provides the grace we need to see us through whatever situation we're in. Hallelujah. Oh, bless his name. Oh, I'd like to preach there about an hour. I ain't got time.
Hallelujah. There is no temptation taking you but such is common to man. Hallelujah. But God is faithful, who will not be allow you or suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape that you might be able to bear it. Looks like to me, reading that text, that temptation, amen, and the way of escape is a package deal. You don't get one without the other. Amen. Hallelujah. And when trials and temptation comes to us, God already has provided a way, a means of escape. Hallelujah. That we can bear up under that load, bear up under that trouble. Hallelujah. How do we do it? We don't do it. Thank God that we rely on Him. And since He's there, thank God, a paraclete, since He's the one that succors us, being in all points tempted, yet without sin, He's able to succor them that are tempted. If I don't get to preach on Shechem, I'm going to be here all night. Somebody pray for me tonight. God help. But I'm glad when you're burdened, when you're tempted, when you're struggling, when you're in trial, there is somebody that will come alongside and bear you up. Are y'all hearing me tonight? Hey, God, help me just a minute. Amen. Help me just a minute. That means you come alongside and bears you up. That's how you get through it. That's how you walk another mile. That's how you keep going. When it seems like you can't go, somebody's bearing you up. Somebody is carrying the load. Hallelujah. Are you listening to me tonight? Thank God. And He always does it. He never fails us. He never lets us down. Hey, God, we think He has. We feel like He has. But when you examine a little closer, He's never left any of us. He's never forsaken any of us. He's been with us all the way. Woo! Amen. So Jacob journeys and he comes to the country called Shechem. In Shechem there are two cities, Succoth and Shalem, where Jacob abides. Now, Jacob is to be heading to Bethel. For back yonder in chapter 31, he said, not only return to the land of your fathers and the land of your kindred. But he said, I am the God of Bethel. Amen. Where thou didst anoint the pillar and did bow the vow. He said, that's where I want you. So here's Jacob pulling that foot. Hallelujah. And he arrives in the land of Canaan. He's in the promised land. He's inside the border. But here's the problem. Though he's in the land, he's not in the place. Some of you are in the land, but you're not in the place. Amen. And as a matter of fact, Jacob spends 8 years at this place called Shechem. Now, we might not fuss at Jacob being in Haran. I think he's overstayed. We know we did work 14 years for Rachel. And he stays on 6+ years beyond that. His heart has already turned back towards it. For after the birth of Joseph, he looks at Laban and says, send me away. And let me go back to my place and to my country. That's what he said. And Laban said, I'll tell you what, just name your wages and hang around. Because I've learned the Lord blesses me because you're hanging around. Learned by experience the Lord blesses me because you're here. And so 6 more years he serves Laban. And he does get rich, but oh, in his heart there's been that desire to be in that country. And
I wonder how many of you tonight are sitting in this service like you've said in many other services before this one. And you're in the land, but you're not at the place. Amen. And you have material and external blessings of God. But oh, your heart inside keeps crying out, there's more to it than this. There's a greater fullness. Hallelujah. There's a higher high. There's a deeper joy. Are y'all hearing me tonight? Jacob's heart was to go home, but he kept laboring for Laban. And you think you're getting rich by laboring for Laban, but in actuality, Laban's tricking you, and you're actually making Laban rich tonight. Oh, and you may be getting rich. Am I being in the flesh? But all you're missing the spiritual blessing that God has for you if you just get out of Padana Ram and get back to Bethel.
Come on. Amen. So he's a little slow getting out of there, and he comes by now. He's at first Succoth, and there he makes booths for his cattle. Also builds a house there, buys land in Shechem, and lives at Shalem. And that word Shalem means in peace. I think Jacob has decided that since the wrath of Esau has passed, and since the terror of Laban has gone, he's in peace. So he's just going to relax. Sit in the easy chair. Anybody listening to me tonight? Get ease in Zion. And he's in the land. He has got back to the land of his father and the land of his kindred. As a matter of fact, when he comes to Shechem and to Shalem, I got Abraham already to come by that place. Abraham had already dwelt there for a short time on his journey of faith. As a matter of fact, Abraham had built an altar, his grandfather Abraham. And he said, well, I think if it's good enough for grandfather Abraham, I'll just stay here. But it wasn't the place God wanted him. God wanted him at Bethel.
Are y'all listening to the preacher tonight? And some of you tonight, what you're doing, you are living on the faith of grandfather and grandmother. You're coming to church because they come to church. You're singing songs because they sung songs. You're dressing like you dress because that's the way they dress. You live like you live because that's the way they live. Amen. You're going through the form and the routine and the ritual, but it's not in your heart. It's not a reality to you. Amen. And you're tinkering and tottering on the fence. And oh, a good, stout, strong wind's going to blow you. And you're going to land on the wrong side tonight. You better get it more in your heart than just out in your heritage and in your mind. Make it real to you. Are y'all listening to me tonight? Hey, hallelujah. There ought to be something inside of you tonight that if everybody here tomorrow turns and goes the other direction, there ought to be something inside of you that says, I can't quit. I don't know what's the matter with him. I got to catch something driving me and pulling me and directing me homeward and onward tonight. Are y'all hearing me tonight?
Hallelujah. Amen.
Woo! My life and the way I live and the standards and convictions and the things I do has nothing to do, thank God, with what grandma and grandpa, mom and daddy did. Has nothing to do with being a Baptist or a preacher. Thank God, it has everything to do with what God has taught me in my heart.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And what God has taught me in my heart, you can't change it. Hallelujah. I've seen congregations, one pastor come in, and they'll change with him. He leaves a couple, 3 years, and next one comes in, he's liberal and moderate. Thank God, amen. Thank God, a good-for-nothing skunk. That's what he is. Thank God. And here they go following him right down the road. If it's ever in your heart you couldn't follow, hey, are y'all listening to me tonight? Thank God. Get grounded. Get founded on the Word of God. Not on man's opinion. Not on the Supreme Court decision. Not on how people vote or what society says. Thank God. Get down to the book. Go by what it says. Live by it. Hallelujah. It's forever settled in heaven. Hallelujah. Woo!
Bless His name. Amen. Oh my. There is a delay in Jacob's life. Though he's in the land of promise, though he's in the land of Canaan, there's a delay in Jacob's life to get to the place that God wants him. In the land, but not in the place. Anybody listening to me tonight? And we know that he delays here. And there's been delays by others that journeyed in faith. Abraham, when he was told to leave Ur of the Chaldees and go into a land that he knew not of, but the Lord had shown him, he kept hanging around till his father died. And it wasn't until he finally come into Canaan that God appeared to him. Are you listening to me tonight? It was Lot that delayed. Delayed when the angel said, get out. The Bible said he lingered. He kept lingering. Are you listening to me? Oh my. Thank God. And devastation and destruction came while Lot lingered. Oh, I want to say tonight, wherever it is God wants you tonight, why are you lingering? Why are you delaying? Why are you hesitating? Why are you dragging your feet tonight? Jacob said, I found peace. I found the place of peace. I'm not bothered by Laban or Esau anymore. We will just settle down here. We will just take it easy. He's in the land, but he hasn't yet arrived at the place.
God wants you to go a little further tonight. God wants you to draw a little closer. God wants you to move up tonight. God wants you to dedicate just a little more. Hallelujah.
And he builds booths for his cattle at Succoth. Have you noticed in the scriptures how many times that dealing with cattle and people placing that as the first objective for a place to dwell or to live got them into trouble? It was Lot that chose the well-watered plains of Jordan because it's good for cattle. But he didn't look, it wasn't no good for kids. And I'll tell you what he done, lost his cattle and kids both. It was those 2.5 tribes, amen, that stopped on the other side of Jordan and said to Moses, we'll take our inheritance on this side. He said, what do you mean? God wants you to cross Jordan. The promised land's on the other side, not on this side. Oh, they said, but this is the land that's good for cattle. Amen. So they settled the land. Are y'all hearing me? And it wasn't long till they got an idol of God and an idol altar. Amen. And by the time Jesus came along and took ship and went over to the land of the Gadarenes, and they had folks with demons inside of them and a land of silver and shrines and there's raising hogs, not cattle. I'm telling you tonight, hey God, you better go with God and you better get to the place with Him and not settle down for the things of this world and the things of this life.
Is anybody still with the preacher?
Hallelujah. Amen. So here's Jacob, and he has built booths. He builds a booth before he builds a house. Amen. Then he builds a house, and then he buys a parcel of land. Amen. He's getting adjusted. He's getting to settle down where he doesn't need to be.
He's driving the stakes down too deep. Are you listening to me? And he buys that parcel of ground there at that country of Shechem and at Shalem. And the word Shechem means a shoulder or a back. And it looks like Jacob is still relying on his own strength. He can't rely on the thigh, so he moves to the shoulder and to the back. Amen. And he builds an altar at that place and names that altar Elohim Israel, which means the God of the God of Israel. Nothing wrong with the altar, doesn't seem like. But the name. It's the God of the God of Israel. He's got to have His name on it. He's still got self in the picture. Is anybody with me tonight? Amen. Abraham built an altar there. I'll build an altar there. But the altar is more. And my friend is more consumed. And my friend, by naming it and carrying on or worshiping in that altar, not so much a just God for who He is, but my friend, there's a little pride in Jacob. Oh, my God, when he says he's the God of Israel. Are you listening to me tonight? A lot of times, we're proud that we're not proud. Stinking pride has ruined us in our churches tonight. And don't any of you look at me like that, because I'm telling you the truth. And I ain't too afraid to tell any of you right now. Thus saith the Lord. It's an altar where, yes, He can give praise. Yes, it's an altar where He can give thanks. Yes, it's an altar where He can make an offering. Hallelujah. But it's not an altar where He can worship. And there is a difference in thanksgiving. There is a difference in praise. And there is a difference in giving and making an offering and worshiping. Is anybody listening to me? May I say this to you tonight? In prayer, when we pray, prayer is when our soul is occupied with its burdens. When we praise God, usually when we praise God, it's when our soul is occupied with God's blessings. And we give thanksgiving. But when we worship, our soul is occupied solely with who He is. Not what He's done, not what He's doing, not what He's going to do, not who we are, and not just simply who He is. Woo! And worship gets His attention. The Syrophoenician woman couldn't get His attention by crying, "Have mercy." She couldn't get His attention by saying, "Thou son of David, have mercy, my daughter's grievously vexed with the devil." But that moment she worshiped and said, "Lord, help us." He turned around, hallelujah, and began to pay her some attention. Now notice she worshiped. She came. He had not answered her one time. He had not done one thing for her. It seems as though, thank God, He didn't give her the time of day. Thank God, she had, my friend, He had done nothing for her. And she had no promise that He would do anything for her. But she got down and said, "Irregardless if you help my daughter or not, irregardless if you help me or not, I'm going to get down here on my hands and knees at your feet and let you know what I think about you and let you know, thank God, that you're God and beside you there's none other." I wish we could get back to the day in the church where we just worship Him for who He is. Thank God, occupied with the great God that He is, and lift our voice and lift our heart in worship unto Him. Are you listening to the preacher tonight? Hallelujah. Oh my. Jacob. Is it Shechem? But it seems like to me he is delaying getting to the place. He has stopped short. Anybody listening to the preacher tonight? I think it's because Jacob is journeying. And we don't hear Israel journeying until we get to Genesis 35:21. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left of us entering into his rest, and of you should seem to come short of it. It seems that Jacob again is occupied with the blessings that God has given him. And he settled down in Shechem to enjoy those blessings. But he's not in the place where he can worship the blesser. And I want to remind you tonight, Shechem is not Bethel. Does anybody notice how quiet it's got in here besides me? Evidently, there's some associations in Jacob's life that have not yet been purified.
Yes, sir.
And we're not just preaching about Jacob tonight. When we look at Jacob, we're looking at ourselves tonight. We want to look in this perfect law of liberty and see who we are tonight. No doubt here at Shechem, no doubt here at this place called Shalem, God has been gracious and faithful to Jacob. But it's one thing for God to be faithful and gracious to us, and it's another thing for us to be like toward Him in holiness.
Yeah.
Is anybody listening to me? And this church generation has changed from when I was growing up. I was growing up and first started preaching on Sand Mountain and Lookout Mountain and the hills and hollers in between and down towards Gadsden and all around. The old saints that I came in contact with seemed to want to do whatever they could do, lay aside everything they could lay aside so they could have more of the power and the presence of God and please God more. They seemed to want to try to do more for Him and do with less, so they could have more of God. Now this church generation keeps coming to me and asking, what can I do and still have the blessing of God? To what extent can I live rebellious and still have, am I feeling the favor of God? Are y'all hearing me tonight? Oh, and we've mistook the blessings and the favor of God on our life and for our holiness toward Him tonight. Man, stay with me. We've journeyed this far. Please don't leave me in the trip, man. I wish we didn't have to go by Shechem tonight. I wish Jacob hadn't dwelled here for 8 years. But he did. I wish you and I wouldn't be so slack and slothful to do the work and the will of God in our lives. I wish we'd quit dragging our feet. I wish we'd quit delaying. I didn't get where God wants us tonight. But here we are. But God is saying to us tonight, get to the place. Don't stay here. Don't sojourn here. Don't live here. Don't buy a land here. Don't build houses here. I don't journey on to that place. Keep going. Keep growing. So here's Jacob. He's at Shechem. May I say this tonight? As far as God's covenant is concerned, Jacob is the only man who is living by faith in the whole world. at this particular time in the history of man. Y'all think we outnumbered? God's crowd's always been a small crew. Noah's just the eighth person. Hallelujah. Amen. But yet though Jacob has the divine favor and blessings and the grace of God on his life at Shechem, and his name has been changed, he's delayed to get where he ought to be. And while he tarries here, there's some awful things take place. Can I remind you that idolatry runs rapid?
Yes, it does.
At Shechem. For when Jacob in chapter 35 and verse 2 looks at his household, he says, put away the strange gods that are among you. Now let me say this tonight. You can live at Shechem with your strange and your idol gods, but you can't dwell at Bethel with them. And the reason some folks only want to live just on the edge of the border, just inside the promised land, just close enough where they can feel something every now and then, and yet not go away because they don't want to give up their strange or their idol gods. And there were idol gods in Jacob's household at Shechem. Though he's the only man on earth that's living by faith, yet there is idols in his household. The idols are twofold. First of all, the idols that's in his household, Rachel brought them with her when they come from Paddan Aram. It was her father's idols that she brought, and she put them under the camel's furniture and hid them from her father and hid them from Jacob and brought those idol gods from Haran or from Paddan Aram. They were secret gods. They were gods that was just to be reserved for herself. But you can't keep them under wraps. You can't keep them idol gods undercover. They'll come out. Hey, oh, hear me. And they'll defile the whole household. Achan buried his in the tent, but they destroyed his whole house. And you may bury him in your heart tonight and in your life and away from other family members, but they'll come out on you. They'll affect your family. They'll destroy your household tonight. Oh, strange and idle gods. Is anybody listening to this preacher tonight? Amen. God help. Oh, Lord. And earlier today, earlier this evening, I had a list I wanted to run down and preach on all of it. But somehow the Lord's just put me to this place right here tonight. I got a feeling you know what your idol God is. I don't think I have to name it right now tonight. I think the Holy Ghost has done pointed it out. Amen. And for some reason, God's just going to let you and Him work on it and deal with it and Him trouble you about it. Because if I name it, and I'm not too little, too big, or too good, or not enough a preacher to do that. If God wants it, I'm ready to say it. But I got a feeling if I name it tonight, you're going to get mad at me, ain't God, and take out your anger on me and blame it all on me when it's God that's troubled you. So I'll just not say it and let Him show you tonight. And you know you got that out of God buried in your tent tonight. You know you got that secret and that strange God under the camel furniture tonight. Oh, hear me. And God knows about it. You know about it. And when it comes out in the household, it'll defile the whole household. You better get rid of it tonight before it destroys you and all those under your roof tonight. Bless His name. Secondly, the idol gods
came from where Simeon and Levi killed all the Hivites, Shechemites, whatever you want to call them, and took their wives and their children and all their possessions. Them Hivites had idol gods. And they took them in when they took them. Women and children after they'd killed the men. And there was idols in Jacob's household. What idols is in your household tonight? What strange gods in your household tonight? Pet them. Keep them under wraps. Worship them. Serve them if you want to. You'll always be at Shechem and you'll never get to Bethel.
You're right.
But Jacob's a man of faith. Yeah, but as long as he's at Shechem, he's a man of failure. Well, how much faith you got, he's a failure. And God never shows up one time these 8 years. Appears to him one time. While he's in Shechem. Oh, my soul. Oh, my soul tonight. Now, Jacob came to Shechem and came especially to the city of Shalem because it's the name of it is in peace. So he thinks, since Esau and Laban's problems are behind me, I'm in peace. But because they get them idol gods, and he dwells too long at Shechem, his daughter Dinah is taken in by one of the sons of Shechem.
Yeah.
And Reuben and Levi destroy all of them because of it.
Yeah.
And the last verse of chapter 34 closes out with Jacob at Shechem, not in peace. But looking at those two boys and saying, what am I going to do with y'all?
Yeah.
You have caused everybody in this whole country to be against us.
Yeah.
There's no peace at Shechem. It's only under the devil. Let me briefly say this tonight. Chapter 34 opens with how Dinah comes to lay, I'll commit fornication with the son, one of the sons, or actually the king of Shechem. The Bible said in verse 1, Dinah looks on the daughters of the Shechemites. She's not looking for a man. She looks at the women. She looks at the girls. She looks at the daughters. And when she sees how they're acting, and she sees how they're dressing, and she sees how they're carrying on, she starts doing like they do, and then that son of Shechem sees her and lays with her. Anybody hearing me tonight? I think I will just preach just a minute right there. Hallelujah. Are y'all listening to me tonight? Hallelujah. You don't want the world to think you're a harlot? Don't dress like a harlot. Don't look like a harlot. Are y'all hearing me tonight? Are you listening to me tonight? Hallelujah. Amen. Don't advertise yourself. Are you listening to me tonight? Amen. That's right. Well, if you don't want them to think that what you're advertising is free or for sale, then quit advertising it. Cover up. Dress modestly. Cover your nakedness. Are you listening to me tonight? Be modest. Don't let it get too low. Don't let it get too high. Don't let it get too tight. Ain't God dressed up? Am I friend that becomes? Am I friend godly women? And women that are trying to please God? She looked on the daughters. Are you listening? I think I'll just say something else while I'm right there. And if you don't want to be called a lesbian, don't look like one.
Amen.
Don't shave your hair like one.
Amen.
Amen.
Don't get tattooed and pierced up like one. Don't walk around like you're a man. Are you listening to me tonight? And young man, if you'd only pertain as a homosexual, am I, Lord? Ain't God look like a man? Act like a man? Walk like a man? Are you listening to me tonight? Hallelujah. God, help us. America, our forefathers came because they couldn't teach their children the freedom to serve and to worship God. Didn't have the freedom of religion. That's why they came to these shores. And we've lost it tonight. And our children are not having freedom of religion. They're bound by Satan tonight. Are you hearing me? And we raise a generation, how my freedom that's so ashamed. I ain't gone to their body, they gotta tattoo it up. They gotta put some kind of piercing. I ain't gone in every part of it. Are y'all hearing me tonight? We've raised a generation of the boys that don't even know how to pull up their pants and wear them. Hallelujah. God help us. What a sad day. We picked out a place for cattle and lost our children. And the church has dwelt too long in Shechem with our strength and idol God, and it's consumed us. Let us arise tonight and go back to Bethel.
Amen. God help us tonight. I wish I didn't have to end here. But I have to end here. Because this is the end of this particular portion of the journey. There's nothing pretty about it. Jacob said to Simeon, I said, Reuben, where to go? It's Simeon and Levi. You trouble me. You make me to stink among the inhabitants. They shall gather themselves together and destroy I and my house. Can I say this? That what Simeon and Levi did, trying to defend the honor of their sister. But when Jacob first got to Shechem, Miss Dinah wasn't old enough for the son of Shechem to look on her, to lie with her. If he hadn't hung around. Jacob, don't be too hard on Simeon and Levi. Better look at old Jacob tonight and see where he got slack and took it ease and is dwelling at Shechem instead of going on to Bethel. There's the message tonight. I wish I could make it easier to you, but I can't. We're right here at the crossroads now. Are you at Shechem tonight? Are you in the land but not at the place? You got any idol and strange gods in your household tonight? In your heart? In your home tonight? Are you delaying to get on to where God wants you to get? Have you settled for less than what God wants you to have? And have you stopped short of where God wants you to be? Then tonight, would you listen to the voice of the Lord and come to Him tonight? And say, Lord, I'm sorry. And as I journeyed by Shechem, I put up my feet. I sat down in the easy chair and decided I wouldn't go any further. I'm sorry, Lord, that it's been all about me. I'm sorry, Lord, that I've bought into humanism and everything's about me. I've noticed that in church. Everything anymore is just about us. Even the songs is all I. In order to be him, 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 him. It's not about us, it's about Him. That's what happens when you dwell too long in Shechem. Let's all stand tonight. No doubt there's sinners among us tonight that need to be saved. God spoke to you, sinner, you ought to come tonight. Begin this journey of faith. And then no doubt tonight there's saints that need to pray tonight.
Yes.
The message is yours. I've left it with you tonight. What you going to do? Are you going to stay at Shechem? Are you going to build your booths? Build your houses? Buy your land? Are you going to pull up stakes tonight and say, Lord, at your command, I'm leaving this place. I'm headed to Bethel. I don't want to stay here. I don't want to keep these strange gods. I don't want misfortune to come to my family because of my delay and me dragging my feet. Sing whenever you get ready. Is it well with your soul? Is your heart right with God? Where are you at on the journey tonight? Have you left Beersheba and found the Lord at Bethel? Has the gate of heaven been opened to you? Are you journeying in Haran tonight? Have you been by Penuel? Have you made it to Shechem tonight? Got into the land after 20 years, got back out of that strange land, but yet stopped short of the place God wanted you to drive to. Oh, is your heart right with God? Oh, is it well with your soul tonight? Do you have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ? Are your sins forgiven? Are you walking in the light of the Lord? Are you at the place that God wants you to be tonight? Are you serving Him acceptably with reverence and godly fear? Have you allowed strange and idle gods to take your affection from Him tonight? Respond to the voice of God, the call of God, the invitation of God. Will you come as the Lord calls you to come? As He invites you to come? As He bids you to come? Will you come tonight as the Holy Spirit draws you and woos you to come tonight? Will you do what you know you ought to? Why do you keep putting it off? Why do you keep pushing it away? Why do you keep delaying in obeying the voice of God? The longer you delay, the more trouble is going to come to your house. The more the idols are going to take over. The greater change Dinah has of being violated. What are you going to do with the message tonight? What are you going to do with your idol God tonight? What
What are you going to do with God's voice tonight?
Just a moment. We'll sing one more verse. Just a moment, let me say this. This is serious business, my friend. We play with it lightly. We take it lightly. We come by church to visit, to pay our respects, to get somebody off of our shoulder, appease our conscience. But I'm telling you tonight, this business about us and God is serious business. We've took it lightly for so long. We've took take it or leave it approach. It really doesn't matter. You can take it or leave it. You know, that's just a preacher anyhow, and, you know, he's a different kind. He's out of the old school, and so it's a different name. So, you know, if you want to go with him, you can. But if you want to leave it, then you're all right anyhow. But it's more serious than that tonight. And I feel God has dealt with hearts tonight. And I feel a heaviness in my soul tonight. I'm begging you, sinner, get saved. I'm begging you, saint, get right.
Yes.
I'm begging all of us tonight to draw nigh to God and put away our strange and our gods, those things that have won our affections and gained our attention above what Christ ought to have. He ought to have the utmost affection and attention. For idle gods, strange gods have gained that affection and attention that belongs to Him. Let's sing one more verse tonight. Please, man, woman, boy, or girl. Saint or sinner? Saved or lost? A member or a visitor? But simply coming tonight because God has troubled your soul. Simply coming tonight because the Spirit of God has bid you to come. Simply coming tonight because God said, draw nigh. God said, come closer. God said, move out.
Thank you, Brother Terry, for the good word of God. Amen. The good word of God. The right word of God. Now, it may not be popular. You men have never heard that before. Just exactly like that. But that's because we're living in the world we're living in. Amen. Call it religion. Call it whatever you want to. Amen. Amen. They've changed the word of God. He wrote the Word of God. You know. Well, you can carry a King James Bible and still die and go to hell. Amen. But anyway. Amen. Amen. Do you know that people in hell, there's two different categories of people in hell tonight. Those that their name was never written in the Lamb's Book of Life and those that had it blotted out. I'm not going to expound on anything. I don't know enough about it. I just know what the book says about it. And those that were blotted out, they added to and took away. And this has just been pure, undefiled, right out of the book preaching. And you can add your theory to it or you can take away from it, either one you want to, but I'd be afraid of what category that left me in. I believe I'm right. I believe I'm right. I mean, it was a pretty stern warning in the back of the book, isn't it?